Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yagera, Turrbal and Yugalpil peoples, the Yugambeh, Mananjali, Kombamiri, Noonuckle and Quandamooka peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the first peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners, tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service, and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. My guest today, the Aboriginal Centre for Performing Arts, known as ACPA. We have Cheryl Sandy joining us in the studio. Cheryl, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Tiger.
You're a director on the board of... But before we go there, tell us your mob, your country.
My mob, Tiger, is Mananjali, the Bow Desert, and the region around that area, down to the Gold Coast and up to Logan River. And I've also got family from the Bundjalung country. My family from there, from Mooli Mooli, Woodenbong, around that area as well.
And you've been on the board for since inception?
Since it started, which I'm trying to think back, and I think it's around about 96 to 98, so that'd be making us about 15, 16 years, since Michael Leslie, who was the visionary for ACPA back in that day, and, you know, we went through a lot of things to keep this organisation going in those early days. Very difficult getting, as you would know, Tiger, getting any organisation, any black organisation up and running in these... You know, working with government and to make it happen is very hard work, and we certainly went through our fair share of it.
Especially in this field, performing arts, and a school to develop the talents in our community, it is different. It is difficult to get the support and the funding, but you have survived 15, 16, 17 years, so something's happening, something is working.
Oh, yes, and not only have we... we've moved this organisation to where we had time with Michael Leslie, we may have been 20 students working out of Metro Arts in Brisbane and with a board. And it was, look, they were really hard times trying to get the funding, and there were times when we were that close to not, you know, not being viable. But with a lot of the board members... previous, those that were there, and goodwill from the government, who saw the potential of a performing arts centre, we were able to pull it through some very difficult times, and we're very proud of that. And to now, where we're a very strong organisation, recently received over $1 million for the premises from this state government to be at our Shafton Street address. We at Kangaroo Point... We have a lovely purpose-built organisation building, and it's just, you know, it's just beautiful. But I'll let the other guests talk about the building in due course. But we are really proud. The board that's with us now, five non-Indigenous, five Indigenous board members, and I think we've taken this organisation to the level where. We're now strategically strong with our CEO. We've taken this to a level that would have been very difficult in those days to see that it was actually going to come to where it is now. But we're very proud of it, Tiger. So,
yes, and so you should be. What's the number of students over there at the moment?
We've got 69 students. So, and we're hoping to grow the student numbers to over about 120 in 2014, so that's not very far off. So we're going. It's really in full growth proportions at the moment. So 69 now, 120 in a couple more years. So that's huge. And our building, our new building, can cope with that. That's what we're looking to do.
Well, that's the other thing to talk about, the new premises. You've seen a few premises in the time you've been on the board. Tell us about them. Started out in West End, over in Cordelia Street, Murray Mirror.
Yes, and we started off at Metro Arts in the city.
That's right.
And it was a jammy lift.
it's one of the oldest lifts in town, isn't it, that one? It's amazing, yeah. Yeah, you still expect to walk in and see the old operator sitting down there.
You didn't know whether you're going to stay in there for 5 hours or, you know. And when it rained, it poured, and in the building as well as out. Yes, that was Metro Arts. Anybody who's been in that building will attest to that. We then moved to Cordelia Street, Murrimura, and, that building was 100% better than Metro Arts. It had its limitations, and every time we had some politicians come and visit us, we had this dance theme that we'd have a over 6 foot guy, Kane, lifting another dancer, and I think they had it just down to a T where they just didn't hit the roof, but it said the point is that we need a new building. This building is not a performing arts building. The levels of the roof were far too low. And when they had to practice those lifts, they had to actually do it in the car park on the bitumen. So they had to get them right, or otherwise, sorry. But so that was that building, and it's far from what we needed. And for many years, the board and the CEO rallied the government, both sides of government, to come up with a new building. And thanks to Shane Newbury, our business development person at that time, worked his guts out to get that building, and only he could tell you what went there. There was a lot in that story. But at the end of the day, we've got a beautiful building that's purpose-made. The students are so proud of, and you'll hear from them afterwards too, that they're all very proud, and I just see that it's the start of where we really get our students out there and into industry, because they've got what other people have had for years. We're only just catching up with the purpose-type buildings that we should be training our performing arts people. And especially being that, Tiger, this is a really unique organisation. ACPA is the only one of its type, and nationally it does all three genres. And when we're churning people out into those...
What are they, the genres you're talking
music,
about?
Music, dance and acting. So whereas other organisations only specialise in, say, dance or theatre, or, you know, we do all three. And we're a fully Indigenous organisation, so that makes it really unique. And then the other part of it, of course, is that then we either have our students going out to the industry organisations, and that's Indigenous and non-Indigenous, mainstream, or they come to us because they're actually recognising us as a organisation that has high standards and quality training. And so they're coming to us, and because we're doing a lot of work within the performing arts industries with QPAC, Queensland Theatre Company, and, you know, Clancestry, and all, you know, we're actually getting our students out there. So some of our students, when they've been at, say, QUT Creative Industries or any of those places, they get good training in there, but there's no profile. And what organisations...
And that industry engagement is limited.
Yes, that's right. Mm. And so they're coming to us to try and get that industry engagement and get their name out there. So... We've come a long way, Tiger. Mm. What can I say?
Certainly have. Now, state government's behind is provides the bulk of the funding. Do they appoint board members to the board?
Yes, it is ministerial appointments.
Is it a bit jittery in there, like when Campbell Newman came in the position of the leader of the state government, and he was making cuts everywhere, wherever he... I thought those guys, every time you mention anything about First Nations people, I reckon they frost with the mouth and their eyes roll back and they started chucking a mickey, you know, a fit. But with ACPA, now you've got to be careful with what you say, but I can say what I like. Well, I better be careful, because you're also my boss. You're a director of BEMA, so I've got to watch what I say, because my boss is here, one of the bosses. But what's that situation like with funding, the relationship with government, and do you get a bit jittery when there's a change of government and stuff? Can things go any which way in there?
Absolutely. Any organisation, Indigenous or non-Indigenous, I think, always prepares for a change of government. And we were we were absolutely the same. The beauty for us was that, yes, we were working with Anna Bligh and the government at that time, and the money was announced at the time of when they were in. And I think we worked with both levels of government. So when the Bligh government went out and Campbell Newman came in, that money was still there And because we had spoken with the opposition at the time, they gave an absolute undertaking that we were going to have that money. And in fact, they made the announcement and gave us the money before Treasury sat down with Peter Costello and Tim Nicholls, sat down with that that budget. They gave us that money before they actually right. did the rationing.
Good, good. Quarantined it virtually. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a good lesson in that you do talk to both sides of government. You talk to those in power and you talk to the opposition as well. And it's something that we as First Nations people haven't done all that well, I believe, in my experience over the last 40 years or more. Generally always talk to government, but don't worry too much about the opposition. No. But anyway, we'd better introduce these students here. We've got Laura Andrews. Sitting up here, yeah, pull that thing up into your face where it's going to work. Laura, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Tell us your mob, your country.
Well, my mob come from the Hunter Valley region. They're a Awabakal. And I was born in Sydney, but I've grown up here in Brisbane.
All right. And what are you doing in the, what course, what's your role, what do you do over there?
I'm studying? An advanced diploma dancer. So this is my third year of study at ACPA so far.
Okay. And is it your first attempt or first engagement in the field of performing arts?
Well, I've been dancing with studios since I was four. My mum started me out in dancing because I actually had flat feet, and the podiatrist told my mum if she didn't get me into something, I would never walk. So,
well, it's obviously worked, but what about the flat feet? You still got flat feet?
I still have flat feet. Nothing can fix that.
Yes, I've got a daughter and her children, I think two out of her five sons, are all flat as a board, you know. There's no date, there's no arch or nothing in that foot.
Yes, I suffer from that too.
All right, okay. All right, and we'll come back to you some more to talk about some more about the challenges and achievements and what your aspirations are. Tula Clutterbuck.
Yes.
Come on into that microphone there, yeah, where it'll work for you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Been in the radio studios before?
No. This is the first time. Very right. exciting.
Yes, you're very relaxed about it. It's not bothering you too much, is it?
Well, it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be, so that's good.
Me or the experience of being there?
A bit of both.
It's all right. It's all right. No, they don't answer that. It's all right. Tell us your mob, your country.
I'm T.I. from St. Paul Islands, which is central T.I.
And what are the family names up there, your mob?
My mob are Kwani and Wayamob. Wayamob is my grandfather's adopted family, but Kwani is origin name. Yeah.
All right. And what are you studying?
I'm a diploma music student.
How long is that course?
Well, I started off in Cert 3, and that was at the start of last year, so this is my second year of study. I've only just started my diploma in January.
How long will it take you to complete?
My diploma finishes at the end of this year, and then I go into my advanced diploma, which is another year, and then I'm done.
So you're literally cramming dance, song, and music, no, theatre, acting, into like sort of a year at a time,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, yeah. We started off with core elements, so it's like you had to do dance classes. Like I started doing contemporary and ballet, started learning that. We did instrument and singing classes and voice and acting classes, as well as writing our own. It was called In the Raw. It was like writing your own theatre piece, with your group of Cert 3 students, which is really, really amazing. And then in Cert 4, we got to choose what kind of genre we wished to go into. And so it was just like the basic start elements in that. So I chose music and I did mainly music classes, but there was also core classes in the Cert 4 that you had to do. So you still got a bit of both worlds. So I still did voice classes for acting and jazz classes for dance. So that was good. So you still get a sense of everything. And then from then you got to choose which one exactly you wanted, and mine was music. So that's what I'm doing now.
I was going to say, you got a good strong voice. Singing would be a natural four-year-old,
yes,
I would say.
Very good alto part.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's easy for taller.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might find a job here for you if ever you get sick of that side of things. Come,
oh,
come radio studio.
I'm very interested in radio. This is hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Yes, now you've certainly got a good voice, that's for sure. Now we've got Sean Dow. Sean, come in a little bit there so people hear you, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Tiger?
I'm very well. Tell us your mob, your country.
All my family are from North Queensland, Birragabba, Koonganji. All the prior mob up in Townsville. Hello, how you going? So that's all my family up that way.
All right. Yeah. Very good. It's good to see countrymen in here. Wiri clan, Birragabba mob myself.
Oh, wicked. Okay. Wadamuli.
Wadamuli. That's right. So what are you studying?
I'm studying acting at ACPA at the moment. I've been there for 2 years and, I've been acting for the past six years. I started in WA and worked professionally for about 5 years after that and decided I want to come home.
All right.
In Brisbane, in Queensland.
So you've been working professionally over in the West.
Yeah.
Now you come back and become a student. Do you want to get the qualifications? Is that what it is? What is it about ACPA? Why would you go from being professionally acting for 5 years, not just a year or so, five years, you know?
Well, the thing was, in WA, being away so far away from home as well, I did the Cert 3 Aboriginal Theatre course at WAPA, the West Australian Academy of Performing Arts. And from there, I went straight into doing stand-up comedy with Deadly Funny. And so there was all these other things that came into the performing arts criteria for me and that I wanted to do. So I did a bit of that. And then I just thought I needed to come home and I actually missed studying. I toured around the country with a play, and I've toured Western Australia about 6 times with regional plays for schools and stuff. And I just thought it's about time for me to come home. It's about 10 years away from here, so you know you can't stay away from family for that long. You're always overdue for a flogging at some point. So yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's good. So, what are your plans when you complete? When will you complete your study? And then what are your plans for that after?
Right. Well, I'm in my last year, my final year of study at ACPA. So I'll hopefully get my advanced diploma at the end of this year. But in terms of the future, there's another school in Sydney that I sort of want to get into. And if I gain entry into this school in Sydney, it will only take me a year to turn my ad diploma, my advanced diploma, into a bachelor. So that's where I want to go from here. I suppose that's one route.
Yeah, good one. Yeah. And more professional work or more in the line of teaching and...
Both, yeah. I really would like to give back to community in a sense and go back up home and teach the some of the kids up there. But my passion is theatre. I love theatre. I love the stage. But unfortunately, TV and camera is where all the money is. And I haven't had much experience in that. And hopefully in the next couple of years of study, I'll be able to get more experience in that and get my skills up.
Yeah. We'll come back to you again pretty soon.
Thank you.
We've got Rob. Rob Doran. How are you, Rob?
I'm good, Tiger.
All good?
Yep. Good morning to you.
Tell us your mob, your country. Where are you from?
I'm not Indigenous.
You're in the Miglu tribe.
Hey.
You're in the Miglu tribe. Big tribe, that one.
Wajala mob,
right, yeah. Where are you from?
My background's Irish, Scottish descent. I grew up in North Queensland around the Bowen area, and been down in southeast Queensland for the last 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's from our country, this fella.
Right? I was born in Sydney. I don't know if that gave up.
That's all right. In mentioning Sydney, what about the Rabbitohs last night, eh? You can't help but give them a bit of a...
Yeah.
That's all right, Rob, you don't have to know about it. That's all right. A lot of the mob listen and reckon, yeah, go Rabbits. Yeah. South Sydney Rabbitohs, rugby league, mate. But anyway, sorry for the digression there. Rob, you're the training director.
Yeah.
How long have you been over there?
In this role, I started with ACPA in January last year, so about 14 months into this position. Originally, when as Cheryl was saying before, ACPA was founded in Queensland by Michael Leslie back in 1997-98, and I was a young, emerging teacher back then. And Michael was gave me one of the first jobs outside of the place where I trained. So I worked with ACPA for a couple of years there as a contract trainer and acting, and then also around 2002, I went back and did another stint there working with Leif Charlton, who was the CEO a bit later on. So I've had a couple of different chapters of working with ACPA at its early outset and as its early years. And in the decade that's gone past, I've gone and worked with other companies in the training and arts industries, and I saw the position in late 2011 for train director at ACPA, and I thought, you know, circle has turned, and see if I can take something back there. And luckily enough, I was able to get the position. So I've been there since January last year.
You've seen a few changes, obviously, starting out with Michael Leslie in those early stages,
yeah,
and coming back now 14 months ago or so. Seen some changes.
Oh, big time. You know, I was there, you know, as I was saying, the metro days, you know, as we were saying, the lift, you know.
Yeah.
It's a place where if someone left the door open downstairs, the lift wouldn't come upstairs, so you got four flights of stairs to walk.
And come up looking to punch on with somebody.
Yeah. Get to come to the right place.
Have you seen the what about the development of students or potential students that come in and play? Have you seen any change in that? Are there tell us about that from when you first started through to now, when you're assessing or you're interviewing new students and stuff. Is there much difference between who you were interviewing back 15 years ago and now?
No, I don't think there is. I think the passion is still the same thing. It's in the heart of the person, you know. Performing arts is not something that you choose to do, really. It's something you have to do because it is a hard game to make a living in, you know, and it's something that people are drawn to it because of something inside them. They need to be creative and be expressive. So I think that's always universal, that state. I guess the vision for what ACPA is about, I think, is still just as strong as the original intent. You know, Michael was quite inspiring as a founder, and that vision is still there. Myself and there's quite a few people at ACPA now who were either early graduates back in the beginning or worked, you know, at the school at that stage. So there's continuity there with the sense of what the aim is about. The training, I think, that as the organisation, obviously, we've grown. You know, with the organisation's a teenager now, you know, 15, 16 years in, excuse me. The facilities we've got now are wonderful. The staff, the size of the team has grown. We've got quite a number of really important and creative team members in the teaching staff. Last year we had the courses reaccredited, so it's brand new qualifications. Of course, we've gone straight into we've got the new building with the new facilities. So it's been a new era, if you like, for ACPA. Yep. I think one of the exciting things about it as well is that we are really, really well supported by the performing arts industry in Brisbane particularly and in Queensland. As ACPA has grown to the level that it's at now and the maturity and the professionalism of it, a lot of the large organisations are coming to us and want to engage with us as far as putting on productions and having our students have the experience to work with them in their venues in main stage productions, which are opportunities that are incredibly valuable, you know, to a performing arts school and very hard to come by. So I think that's also a feather in the cap of the quality that ACPA students are presenting, that the industry wants to work and have our students involved in their programs. You know, we get probably at least once a week, we get an unsolicited casting. You know, somebody's coming in saying, we're looking for this and that for a role, TV, film, television, photographic shoot, whatever. You know, so industry are more and more aware of the talent that the students are bringing to it. And that's continuing. And as I said, that's unsolicited. We're not going out looking for it. They're coming to us. So I think another stage in our growth is about having the capacity to actually create an agency that represents our students. And other artists as well, to be able to say, you know, this is what we can do and this is what our students can do. Particularly getting more and more roles which are not necessarily culturally specific. You know, at the moment, if someone wants an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander character, they'll come to us. But what we need to make mainstream industry understand is that our students can play all the roles. The only role they can't play is if it says, must not be, you know. Otherwise, they can play any role that comes across the board. So part of our job is, I think, about educating industry more along those lines as well.
That's a pretty long process. I can remember that taking place almost 30 years ago. I was involved on the fringe of things. My mother was more involved with NASDA down in Sydney back in the late 70s with Carol Johnson when she first set it up.
Yeah.
Or early 80s it might have been, Black Theatre and stuff. And some of our earlier performers who weren't around, actors like Justine Saunders, Bob Mazza, people like that, they could only ever be typecast.
Mm.
And there's this problem within industry, within society.
there's no doubt Tiger's a long haul, you know.
But he's slow learner, some of his mob, eh?
So some of us are, mate. But, you know.
It's not just a white thing either, the slow learner. It's not just a white thing. Some of the black fellas are a bit slow learning too sometimes. Right.
But, I mean, you look at, you know, the quality of work that's coming out, you know, like with Mabo series and Redfern now, you know, there's more and more opportunities in creating work, you know, with the Indigenous industry at creating those opportunities as well. So that's fantastic. NITV, you know, is a big step. I think also, though, you know, it can't just be one channel, you know. We need to be...
That's right.
You know, our students, our graduates, performers need to be across the whole culture. And that's what, you know, I think ACPA's a performing arts school, but in the big picture, that's the role that it has to play. And I think that's been part of the vision right from the beginning, you know. And still that's at the heart of what it's about.
Yeah, so what you're saying is you want your students, when they graduate, to be able to put their hand up and try out for any role anywhere.
Yep.
Not just be stuck on the black side of town.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Yes. Cheryl, well, Rob, first, some of your graduates, any names, anybody moved into position somewhere? Like, I don't know who can claim up Wesley Enoch, but look at the role he's got now as, what's his director?
Director of Queensland.
Yeah, he's the artistic director of Queensland
Theatre Company, as well as a director too, the director of this company here, you know.
Yeah, but he's a QUT grad. I can't take credit for him.
You can't take credit for him?
I wouldn't say there's any household names, you know, yet. They're out there. But we've got the graduates working for Circus Oz, Bangara Dance Theatre in Sydney, Lee Warren Dance Company, which, you know, they tour internationally and nationally. We've got one of our graduates now works at Queensland Performing Arts Centre this year. He's working in a production role. We have another graduate working with the Queensland Theatre Company as an assistant director in production role.
There is work. There are roles out there.
Yeah.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
What is there for the likes of these young ones here with us? Is there out there?
It's a tough career. Yes. You know, most of the jobs are short term. You know, you get contracted for a small period of time. You work your butt off for a rehearsal, you do a concentrated tour, season or tour, and then bang, you're looking for your next job, you know. But that, again, I think that's part of the artist is the journeyman, you know. They're always travelling on to that next creative opportunity, that's the choice. But there's lots of, obviously, other jobs in the industry as far as arts workers and production side, you know, which are there for our graduates as well, because while they're learning performing arts, they're also learning about the industry, and they're also, over those 3 years, from a training point of view, what I enjoy is watching the growth of the person, you know? And so they're coming out 3 years' time going, I'm capable of this, and I want to choose where I'm going and make my, you know, make my mark.
We've got one of your graduates on staff here. She's working in the training centre, our RTO. More to do with training as opposed to on air, but she's a graduate of ACPA.
She
goes off and does a bit when she can get the jobs, the projects. She goes off and does that. Yeah,
and I think that's a lot. Like, we've got a couple of our admin staff who are past graduates, but also part of our role as an employer is to be flexible like that, let them have that time to go out and do that work as well. So, there's work out there, but... I would never say to a student or an applicant that it's an easy road. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yes, and you got to think outside the square. Mm. Cheryl, you actually will be recruiting for a new CEO over there.
We absolutely
could be someone listening, but they might be interested. They might be able to prick their ears.
Absolutely. I'm hoping that's the case. Look, what we're looking for is an Indigenous person, particularly somebody who's had leadership roles in the community or in the industry, particularly knows about the performing arts industry, has a passion for the performing arts industry, must have a administrative acumen, along with the ability to have good relationships with government and community. As we've spoken before, that's so important in terms of continuing the funding for this organisation. We always don't have enough money. Isn't that right, Rob?
Yes.
We can always do more. And so it's really about having some really good, strong relationships, but also strong communication skills to try and build the funding that's required to do some of our productions. We also need somebody who's got the ability to partner with key stakeholders. At the moment, we've spoken about some of them, QPAC, Queensland Theatre Company. We've got relationships with NIDA, NASDA, Sydney Theatre Company, Bangarra. That's just a few to mention. And this is where a lot of our students actually go off and have some time working with some of these companies. So we need to continue to grow that. And I think you also said some, Rob, where our students already at. Some of our students are already doing things also privately in bands and all sorts of things there that we don't necessarily know so much about. Also, what we're really looking for, Tiger, is looking for a new, innovative, energetic, visionary CEO to lead our organisation. And we're doing a national campaign and we'll be rolling out a number of ads within the Australian this weekend. We'll be going through the Koorie Mail, National Indigenous Times, and obviously coming and talking to 4AAA to try and attract this person. And the current CEO, I can say, has brought ACPA, as I've said before, to a level of maturity strategically and our relationships with the industry. But the next stage is a very important one. The next steps is to take ACPA to the next level. And some of the things, Rob, you were talking about were about, okay, so we have students. How do we actually get them and help them to get into that industry because it's so hard? I think we have a role of being able to make that transition easier. It's like with any recruitment. If you, like Tiger, you do recruitment you have students in terms of radio, multimedia, and then, you know, it's not just a matter of just, oh, there you go, off you go. It's actually helping them to put that resume together, to go out into industry or some you may take and all that sort of stuff. It's really about trying to go that next level and working out how we can do that and make it easier for them. I really want to see one of our students go to Home and Away, you know, for instance. You know, we see Wally Lewis's son gets a role and now he's over in New York and doing it big. You know, why not our mob who've got more experience and they've done some fantastic work, you know, to build up to that and get a black face there in Home and Away. And that's one of the productions that we know.
I thought it was just a projection of white fella life in this country. Oh, can they have a black fella?
Well,
in
there, that's
what they go with a black.
The only one black one they had there was Jay, and he wasn't an Indigenous fella. He's from, I think, New Zealand. I may be wrong. Sorry if I'm wrong there, but he was the only black face, and I was proud that he was there. But when he left, he actually made some noises around that about, oh, what is this? Just going to be a white production? You know, but I measure Home and Away in some ways about how our acting, what we look like in society, because we have, they all jump in there, then they jump off and launch into their careers. You know, my challenge is we got good blackfellas here in ACPA, why can't we have a role there? So, you know, and that's just one of many mainstream roles that we could be having and not just going into that one channel or blackfella roles. You know, there are roles for us. We need to be looking like our country. You know, so that's what we're. I think that's the next challenge for the next CEO. Actually, is
who makes those decisions? Who makes the decisions to cast a particular type of person in a particular type of role? I mean, what's the other show to Home and Away? There's another Australian
Neighbours.
Neighbours. You know, something. How many? There's a gazillion.
But one that's been around for 30 or 40 years. My young brother Michael played, and this is 30 years ago or 35 years ago. He played the role of the park ranger. Trevor, I think his name was his character role, but he was an Aboriginal park ranger in one of those shows, Neighbours, Home and Away or something. And then there was young Cess Patton came on for a while and he went off to make his name in football. But who makes the decision to actually create this blackface, a role for a blackface, or to add another dimension to a program like that? Because that's where these fellas have got to aim for, getting into those positions where they're going to say, we're going to have not one black, we're going to have two or three, or we're going to have different sorts of people in these different roles.
Yeah. Can I just say that I think that's the very thing that you're talking about is I think ACPA has a lead role in trying to make that change, you know, so that we do make relationships with the people that are making those decisions and talk about, you know, we should be looking like diversity of our community and we're sick of just seeing white faces. Mm-hmm.
I suppose Wesley's an example of getting to that status or that position.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, and Wesley's been quite active in his role of increasing work, you know, and Indigenous work in the program. Can I just, going back to that, and this might come down to, you know, who the new CEO is and where they want to go, but one of the things in the potential of ACPA is what we'd like to see is a production management course coming out of the school, so that eventually those roles that we're talking about will be actually training and producing people who will be doing those roles and creating work. And the other aspiration we also have is that we're generating, creating a body of work every year as part of our training and assessment process, but that work itself can actually become repertoire. And we're looking at what is the possibility of creating a graduate company. How do we do that? We're actually creating employment for our graduates, and they're, and life, the work that they're creating has a life beyond just being a school production.
All right. Well, let me go across to Laura Andrews, one of our guests here, one of the students. Laura, you mentioned earlier you were in the Bellflowers Women's Choir.
Yes, I was very, very lucky. I turned up to all the classes, all the rehearsals, and I was chosen to be a part of the Bellflowers Women's Choir.
Where did you perform?
We've done a number of performances. I think the biggest performance we've done is the NRL All-Stars. We sung the national anthem in Turrbal language with Jessica Malboy. So that was...
Right, that was big.
It was huge. It was very daunting.
She's an amazing young woman, isn't she?
Oh, she's incredible.
What a great role model for young women like yourselves.
Just such an incredible role model, as you said. Mm. To Indigenous people, but also to non-Indigenous people. Like, yeah. She really covers all areas.
She does. She's
got an amazing voice and just a really beautiful person.
Tula, were you in the choir?
Yeah, I was. It was kind of really exciting to do something because I've never done something like that before. And working with Jessica Malboy in my first big thing at ACPA, and it was so amazing. And singing the national anthem in a language that a lot of people thought was a dead language was really, really just something so amazing to do. Turrbal was thought lost for years, and then one elder who had got had it passed on just passed it on to Ani Marucci. And she then did it up for us, and it was quite an honour to sing the language.
Was it difficult to learn the language?
Absolutely.
Because we went on for a 6-week break, and then we came back, and they were kind of just like, a lot of us hadn't actually realised that the language had changed, because we've all had learnt it in Yugambi before, and because it was no longer in Yugambi area, so they didn't know, there was a lot of, you know, things that they had to go through. Mm. And
politics and stuff. Protocols, yeah. Yes, yes.
And it was actually decided that there was going to be, it was going to be written in Turrbal language, and Ani Marucci did it. But a lot of us hadn't actually gotten the information from them via emails or anything like that. So we were all home, and like, I live in Townsville, so I don't live, I'm not from Brisbane, so, you know, I wasn't here, and came back in the first week, and everyone was kind of like, oh, it's in Turrbal. And
we're all
like, it's a bit of a surprise.
Oh, we have a week to learn it. But it was with the support of everybody, and Ani Marucci came in a couple of times, and we had her voice recorded and stuff like that. So it was hard to learn, but, you know, with a lot of dedication to it, we got through it, so that was good.
And we also had a lot of help from our choir director, Ani Ruth Gee, who's also an alumni of ACPA. Mm-hmm. So she's really great. She comes in and teaches us Torres Strait Islander songs
from the different sections. So it's really
different islands.
So she's kind of been preparing us for something like this, where it's just, oh, here's a language, learn it. So it's kind of been, so we've been doing Torres Strait language for about six months. And it was kind of good preparation to have something like that thrust upon you. So
yeah, for sure.
Very good.
What do you want to do, Laura, with your, after you graduate? Where to for you?
I think my biggest dream is to get into a dance company. Which one? I'm not really sure. I really love Expressions Dance Company and Sydney Dance Company. But another big dream, of course, is Bengara. I saw one of their works when I was in high school, and I just knew, absolutely, like, I would love to get the opportunity to work with Bengara. And Expressions, as I said, there's some like really amazing dancers coming out of Australia at the moment, non-Indigenous and Indigenous, and it's a really exciting time, I think. There's some amazing new works.
Yeah, certainly is. And Tula, what do you see yourself doing?
I kind of have like a lot of things I want to do. I want to get into musical theatre. I'm writing my own songs right now, so like getting those out there as well is a big thing. But I also really like acting, so theatre performing is something that I want to look into as well. And I'm hoping to do while I'm in my diploma, also do some acting courses as well. So try something like that. Radio is something I'm interested in because me and my mum in the radio, our big old car, you know, didn't have a CD player, so it was always the radio, and I absolutely just enjoyed the radio. Mm. So that's something I really am looking into. Just really anything. Mm. Very, very wide range of things that I kind of want to do when I leave.
What style of music is you interested in?
Anything.
What are you writing? What style?
It's kind of like ballad kind of stuff, but I got in. We're doing stuff for QMF, which is a Queensland Music Festival, and we're putting in our own original songs. And one of the songs that I did was starting off as just piano, and then I was like, no, it's a bit boring. You know, why don't we just add all this and this? So there's drums and basses and guitars, and there's two pianos, two like rhythm guitar.
One piano's not good enough. You only have a two.
Yeah,
there you go. That's the way to go. It's, stretch it.
Yeah, don't limit yourself.
So it's kind of like a reggae rock feel now. So it's kind of really cool like that. So. The ACPA gives you a lot of opportunities to do stuff like that, so that's really, really, like, it's just, I never thought that I could do something like this, so it's really a big honour to be at the school, really.
Great opportunity.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, yeah. Sean, come on in close there.
Hi.
Clancestry.
Yes.
You guys performed there.
Yeah, we all did, all three of us, yeah.
Yeah. And what was that like?
Oh, that was awesome. It was the first time it was ever done, I think. This was the first year Clancestry's ever been performed and organised. And it was just an honour to be a part of that. And I was only performing in the opening ceremony, so I can only speak for that. And it was just amazing to be able to perform next to the Chooki dancers and such acts, you know. And
all the mobs coming
all of them,
together.
Yeah.
It was just such an incredible experience
really
to see everyone come together. Yeah. And that was the thing about Clancestry. It wasn't just about us Indigenous mob knowing our background. So it's about everyone knowing their background, whether you're Indigenous, non-Indigenous. It's really important, I think, to know where you come from, know who your people are.
Yeah.
Most certainly.
Yeah, and the weather that day was a bit freaky as well. It rained for like about 3 hours during that day, and then we're freaking out for the night performance.
Rain, yeah.
And then it just stopped raining, and then it came back about 2 hours after we finished.
Yeah, it was quite. There was this. It was like it was meant to be. There was this big section of where it was. It was just raining and raining and raining, and like we had to dance in a sand circle. So you can imagine,
out
like we're
open.
Like, oh, this is just gonna be like just swimming in sand. but when we got there, it was kind of a bit like, you know, we're freaking out a little bit, but then the rain stopped and the sun came out for a little bit, so it kind of dried up the sand a little bit in the area. And we were just crossing our fingers, like, don't come back. And Troy Cassidaly was there and Archie Roach, and we were like, oh, please, just because there was
Bennett.
Like this Luke Bennett, and there was just this little stage that they were performing on, and they'd only just the night before put a tarp over the top of it, so it's kind of like, oh, please.
It was meant to be.
Yeah, it was meant to be.
It
stopped raining and
they're looking after us.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, what about the closing performance? Wasn't that amazing?
Oh, that was unbelievable. It was a really incredible moment to see all those mobs coming together, to see how, back in the day, how a different tribe would approach another tribe's area, to hear the different calls using the different musical instruments that they made, to see that confrontation. I just gained so much from it. When the first mob came in, I was in tears.
Mm. Yeah, no, it certainly made the hair stand up on the back of your neck and stuff.
Because a lot of the culture had been lost, and I didn't grow up knowing a lot about my Aboriginal side. So to get the opportunity to see how things used to happen, I just was overwhelmed with emotion.
Mm. I, as you say, a lot of the culture has been a bit quiet and even sort of lost to some degree. And then we're trying to recreate. And I suppose there's some difficulty in trying to do it correctly, because I question the aggression and the confrontation. We were not an aggressive race of people. Otherwise, we would have met Captain Cook and not the Pacific Islanders.
Yeah.
So we're not an aggressive race of people.
Yeah.
No.
And the confrontation stuff is not a part of our way. So I question just some of that. So it's difficult, a path to travel. Yeah. But it's just great. It was an amazing performance and stuff that.
And it was really good to see so many non-Indigenous people.
Yes, it was.
To see how our culture goes.
Tell us about Fridays. What happens on Fridays over there at the college, like today? What's happening today? What are you guys missing out on? But
well,
every Friday you have it's a special sort of a timetable.
Yeah. On Fridays we do a culture day. So it's like the new students now are learning a lot of the dances that have been created for us or gotten permission for, and they like we do dances from
Yirrkala,
Waka Waka, Gubby Gubby.
Friday is all about culture.
Yeah.
We start off. We have student meetings where we get together. We discuss issues that we have as a student body. Then we have Yannan time, which is where we get in guest artists, organisations. They come and talk to us about events that they've got coming up, their journeys as artists in the industry. Then we have grounding classes where the men and women get separated. So men do men's business, women do women's business. And then after that class, we all come together for combined cultural. And then after that class, the women get to do the women's choir where we sing Torres Strait Islander songs. And the men get to learn didgeridoo.
Yeah, we get to learn how to play didgeridoo. And I just want to reiterate how important Cultural Day is, because we get a lot of remote community Indigenous students come through, and it's just really important to have these classes, because when they come here, it's just that cultural grounding. That's why it's called a grounding class, because when they're here, they need that some sort of culture to hold on to. Otherwise, you know, they up and leave or go back home, and it just keeps them there. You know, it gives them something to stick around.
You've got a broad range of students around you, people from across not just the state, but across the country.
Yeah. Like we've got everywhere. From as far as Halls Creek and northwest Western Australia.
I can only imagine it could be quite a culture shock to go from living in community, living on country with their family, doing things traditional ways and different ways, and then coming to the city where it's like crazy. A completely different world.
Yeah. So there's some challenges there. I mean, are there challenges like partying?
Getting lost
after hours, the weekend. Yeah. Well, the bus isn't a challenge, but actually sort of losing focus a bit and thinking, wow, look at this. Some of them be off dry communities where grog's not allowed in the territory and stuff.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, like when they come in, they have like I in my own personal experience, I had just turned 18 before I came here, and I'm like, yeah, every weekend.
And now I'm
kind of just like, oh, it's not that important. Like, I don't see why I thought it was such a big deal that I needed to do this. And but I think that everybody kind of needs to go through that experience and stuff like that before you snaps and you realize like, oh, this is actually really, really important, and like I need to dedicate every hour of
you need
my
something
being
to focus
to
on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can get lost.
Yeah.
And you really get your priorities strained out.
Definitely. Well, there's days where we start at 8:30 a.m. and we finish at 8 p.m. at night.
Yeah. Like by the end of the week, you have no energy to go out and party anyway.
You got nothing anymore.
Like if you,
so
if
that's
you,
the key.
Yeah. I think that's how Akpa does it,
making us tired.
Yeah.
So we don't go and like be naughty.
Bit like at home with the kids, isn't it?
And that's the thing with our trainers; they really
use up their energy. How they sleep at night,
they do look after us.
Trainers are really amazing, though. They're like parents to us, a lot of us.
Yeah,
we get lots of different classes. We get, in terms of acting, we've got American accent classes and film and television classes. So that sort of prepares us for, you know, international work and things like that. And it's quite the mainstream school.
Yeah.
And what sets us apart is the cultural accent aspect that we have.
We have world-class trainers. Like, every single department has the most incredible trainers in the industry.
Yep.
And that's the thing. They're not just teachers. They're artists in the industry. They know this.
They're professionals.
Yeah, they know the industry.
We have a new head of department for acting who's European trained, you know. So she's bringing something new over here, and she's learning about our culture at the same time. Mm. So there's that exchange as well, which is awesome.
Traditional dance. Where, how is that organised? How is that selected? How is it identified? Okay, you're going to learn Wakawa, you're going to learn Batchelor, you're going to learn Yirrkala or Mornington Island, you know?
It's all through protocol. It's all protocol. Have to go up, get permission. We have Arnie Flo, who does a lot of that for us. She'll go up to community. She'll spend time with the elders up there, the community members, trying to get permission, like telling them what ACPA does with the culture. It's not, we respect it. We know you don't just walk in and get someone else's culture of their country. Exactly. You need to respect it. It's done in a very professional, respectful way at ACPA. Yeah. Everyone learns it.
Everything's done properly.
Yeah. Exactly. We've got a couple of minutes left. I want you to give us some words of advice, recommend something for our young ones out there that might be struggling. You've already mentioned about identity, the importance of identity. So obviously education, identity and stuff, and commitment and response, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's start with you, Sean. What would you say to our young ones?
100% commitment in whatever you do. Especially if you're going into the performing arts industry, it's a known fact that at any one time, 90% of actors in this country are out of work. And, you know, if you get into a course, you know, make sure you put 120% in and just learn as much as you can. And, just stay committed all the time. Yeah.
What about cultural identity? How important is that?
Oh, very. You need to remember where you're from all the time. You know, that's really important. It keeps you grounded. Like I said, every Friday is Cultural Grounding Day, and that's probably it's my favourite day of the week. You know, it's shake leg all day, so
good one.
It takes me away from the Shakespeare and the classical, you know, which it does my head in. I quote Shakespeare in my sleep. I kid you not. I'll scream out for Romeo the other night.
Make sure.
I wasn't Juliet. No.
Tula.
I would say never give up. Like, don't just because something is hard, just don't, like, you don't look at it one way. Look at it from every other angle as well and think, what is this going to do for me? You've got to, as Sean said, commitment. You've got to commit to it 100% and don't do things half-assed because it's not going to work.
Yeah. Good. Laura?
One of my favourite quotes is, pain is temporary but quitting is forever. So
good one.
Coming into this industry, it's not a walk in a park. We do long hours and each day we're putting in everything that our body can give us.
Right.
It's not the sort of industry that you go into because you think it's easy or you think it's going to be fun. You know, like Rob said before, it's something that you have to do. If I didn't dance, I don't know what I'd do. So I think it's really important. And know that ACPA provides a really safe environment, like not just safety-wise, but it's a family. Like,
yeah,
I always say ACPA is my second family.
Well, so we're getting close to news. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks
good
for
luck,
having us.
Good luck with wherever you choose to go from here. Who knows, we might see somebody in radio from ACPA. Somebody else, you never know. There's lots of different roles.
Mm.
Cheryl, thanks for coming in, joining us. And Rob, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
And congratulations and good luck with continuing on the important job you've got.
And the search for our new CEO.
Yes. I'm back Monday morning. Make sure you join us for Let's Talk.